accession number 20302, reel 3.
Donald Newson, reel 3.
I don't know if the German prisoners we captured got blown up when they went back through the minefield the same as we did. I would imagine they would have to be very, very careful indeed and be very lucky to get through. But we had a major in charge of us who said, if that's good enough for us to come through, you laid the mines, you can go back through them.
What was the objective on that occasion?
The object was to get into Germany. It was very, very muddy. There was no tank support because of the fields and everything round that way had been flooded. So we had no tank support. We had to do all the advancing without any heavy guns or anything, just infantry. And the first street, apart from the first thing I actually remembered when I got through the first line of German defences, was coming to a street called Hermann Gorenstrasse. And we entered this place called Kranenburg. We cleared the houses, and by that time we were all very, very tired, and we went to sleep in the German houses, in their beds, in their actual, where they slept. They were not there, of course. They'd all run for it. But we occupied their houses.
Did people take things from the houses?
Did people take
things from the houses?
What, British soldiers? I'm afraid, to be honest, they did, yes. Little things infantrymen can carry, such as souvenirs, swastikas, and there wasn't very much an infantryman could carry. He couldn't carry. He couldn't go into a house and take a picture off the wall or anything like that because he couldn't carry it. I did have one instance thereabouts where I took a German family by surprise, and when I walked through the front door, the German occupant had a picture of Adolf Hitler on the chimney breast, and as I came in the room my eyes went straight to the picture, and he immediately took it down and smashed it up in front of me and said, Hitler no good. But probably that's what he thought then.
What else do you remember from this time, please?
Well, on this particular house where the man took the picture down, he later sent his daughter in to ask if he'd take some cooking utensils out of the house. And as the cooking utensils were in the cellar, I said, yeah, I didn't mind her taking the utensils out of the cellar and whatever she required, but I'd have to go down the cellar with her because I always had the mind that she might have left a bomb or an explosive or something like that under there. But she was all right. She took what she wanted and went. And I did ask at that time the same German where their equivalent of our Home Guard was, because they had what they call a Volkstrümmer. And he said, they're all gone, all the way. So they didn't stand, not like the regular soldiers. But from Kranenburg, we went to a place called Cleve, which was a beautiful town. And we were built in very, very good class of houses. And soldiers being what they are as soldiers, when we used to wash, when we used to have, make cups of tea, most of them never used to wash up. They used to throw the cups out the windows and get some clean ones out. But that was just how they felt at the time. But at Cleves itself, as an interesting point, I did see the very first German jet fighters, because I'm absolutely sure on this point, I was amazed to see planes flying without propellers, and they were the very first jets. They didn't attack us, they were flying over the top of Cleves. But we did have the order about that time to live on the land, off the land I meant, and if we didn't, if our rations didn't come up, then we used to possibly go out and forage for food, such as chickens and that sort of thing, and cook. And in fact, I went to take a chicken once, and the burgomaster man who happened to be there, he said, "Don't take my chickens, take someone else's." So that's no different there to what it is anyone else.
So anywhere what did you do?
I still took one of his. But it went against my grain to turn even German people out of their houses for us to occupy. We were told to do it, but I didn't like doing it.
How did the Germans react when you turned them out?
They didn't put up any opposition, they just went.
Did you feel any hatred towards them?
No, never. I felt sorry for them, because I could see obviously they were in dire straits. And I've always liked children and that sort of thing. And that, if anything, I was very sorry to see him too in such a poor way. But there's not much you could do about it. They were very dazed with the bombing and that sort of thing. I can't say I had much to do with the Germans. Then most of them had run for it when we got to the towns, the civilians. They'd left behind money and valuables, but the money wasn't worth anything because we just couldn't buy anything with German money. And we went on into Germany, and to the next place we went to was a place called Celle, Celle, and not very far from Belsen. In fact, we approached Belsen, the notorious prison camp, and a German officer, a doctor with an armband on, Red Cross armband, he approached our leading company. I was in the leading company at the time, and he stopped us. He said, in his language, "Don't go any further, typhus." And our company commander had the good sense to take him for his word and turned us round, and we bypassed it. But I did see at least two inmates escape, although they said no one ever escaped from Belsen.
What exactly did you see?
two very, very thin men in striped, what looked like pyjamas, prison garb, with shaven heads and gaunt faces.
What were they doing?
Running across the field to get away from Belson. But it did cross my mind at the time, although they were very thin and in prison guard, prisoner garb, I did wonder for 1 minute if they were ex-guards on the escape.
So were they just left?
We were going as fast as we possibly could into Germany. We didn't stop for anything or anyone. The order of the day then was to get ahead as fast as you possibly could. In fact, we left pockets of infantry, and we bypassed them and just left them for other people behind us to mop them up. The idea was to occupy as much of Germany as we possibly could. But around about that time, I'm afraid my services were finished, because around about the 15th of April, I was sent on a reconnaissance patrol because one of the companies ahead of us had been overrun. And the Captain Scott said to me, take your section and go and find out the position of the Germans, how many there is, and report back. And I went forward and I got in a position so I could see how many Germans were on the other side, and the next second I'd been shot through the top of my arm, through the bone, and I was no further good for anything.
This is your left arm?
Left arm, yeah. I think that was a sniper's bullet.
What rank did you have at that time?
I was a full corporal.
And you're in charge of a section?
Yeah, I had six men. I went back to HQ and reported what I'd seen, and the captain in charge of the company gave me a glass of brandy and a shot of morphine, and I got sent back to a field dressing station where they dressed the wound and put a plaster cast on, excuse me, and then I was put on a plane and sent back to England, to Manchester.
What did you feel when the bullet hit you?
I think I screamed out.
Was there a sensation of pain?
I would say shock more than pain.
Did you have any field dressing to put on it?
I didn't stop to put field dressing on. I just held my arm and went back and to the HQ and left the stretcher bearers to put a dressing on.
Why didn't you stop to put a field dressing on?
I just wanted to get out of it and back.
What kind of medical treatment did you get in Manchester?
Well, they repositioned my arm and they done it very well. They made a very good job of it.
What do you mean repositioned it?
Well, that was a compound fracture. And they put it together again and put a very big plaster cast over it, which was held my arm out at that angle. And as I say, I was young and strong, and that all healed up very well. The field dressing station in Germany was very good in the first instance. They also dressed it properly. And the And I was quite surprised when they sent me back to England, but it took some time for my arm to heal up properly, so I probably thought it was the best place for me.
Did you suffer much pain from the wound afterwards?
No, it healed up quite well.
Were you satisfied with the treatment that you got?
Yes, I was, yes.
Did you return to the battalion?
I returned to Germany, but to a different battalion. The same regiment, but a different battalion.
Which one was that?
I went to the 5th Battalion HLI.
And which company and platoon were you in there?
I can't exactly remember what company I was in then, but about that time I was awarded a mention in dispatches. We're going through the minefield, I think, or leading through the minefield, because incidentally the company commander, he got the MC.
What was the occupation of Germany like?
Well, I found it very enjoyable.
Why?
Well, by that time I was made up to a sergeant, and conditions in the sergeant's mess and the food was much better. We had quite a lot of freedom. There was plenty of recreation. We used to go swimming in the Monacy Dam, which was bombed. You know, where the dam busters under the... They made it into a natural sort of place to go swimming. And we used to have parties in the sergeant's mess.
So where were you based?
I was stationed, did you mean?
Yes.
Round about Munster. In that part. And they didn't give us many duties to do at all just at that time. In fact, we had quite a lot of free time. I think the discipline suffered a bit, but...
In what way?
Well, I think the ordinary soldiers were allowed a bit too much... Latitude.
Were they misbehaving?
To a certain extent, yeah.
And what were?
Well, it was... there was a lot of fraternisation with the German people at that time. And I think some of them took it a bit too far.
How do you mean?
Well, they would... I mean, cigarettes and that sort of thing was a currency over there at that time. And I think they used to take advantage of the civilians in a lot of ways. But...
You mean with the women?
With the women mostly, yeah. But that wasn't really just private soldiers, that was right from the top to the bottom, I think, officers as well.
Did you see anything of displaced persons there?
Yes. I saw displaced persons and I could never quite understand what they'd done wrong, because they were behind huge fences and they looked, in some cases, just like ordinary families. I think they were of Hungarian or Yugoslavian extraction, but they seemed completely and utterly harmless to me. And I can never understand what we were guarding them for or against. But I think they didn't fare very well when they were sent back to where they come from, their natural countries.
Did they want to go back?
No, I don't think so. I think at that time, I don't think this ever been properly explained, but I think they were betrayed.
Could you converse with them?
No, I couldn't converse with them, but I could see that they were just ordinary nice people. They certainly didn't want to go back from wherever they come from, not to the regime that was ruling at that time. I think some of them could have been Russian. It's very difficult to say what nationality they were.
Any other memories?
Not the men had beards. Other memories, I used to go swimming a lot, and I generally speaking, I enjoyed my stay over there.
About how long would you have been there?
Well, before I was demobbed, I should think in the region, maybe 12 months.
Were you getting restless about demob?
No, I was offered early release. But I preferred to stay on until my full release came through. I could have gone out earlier because I was needed in England, being in the building trade. They wanted to get some of us back.
Why did you prefer to stay on in Germany?
Well, because I was quite happy there. I was having a good time. I was lucky in as much that, having been wounded, I was sent to England. Had I stayed on till the war in Europe finished, I think I would have been sent promptly over to Japan for the war over there, which a lot of the veterans did go. I eventually came home to England and was demobbed, given a civilian suit of clothes.
Where were you demobbed?
At York.
How do you feel now about having served with HLI in the war?
I don't regret serving with them. I got on quite well, really. I integrated with them. And I don't think I'd want to settle in Scotland or in Glasgow or anywhere like that. I think that would be a bit difficult.
Why do you think that?
Well, I think there is a difference between English and Scottish. I can't explain it, but I think there is.
Did the war experience change you in any way?
I think I took quite a long while to settle down when I come back home. There wasn't such a thing as counselling or anything like that at that time. And you felt generally unsettled.
In what way were you unsettled?
Well, it wasn't easy to get a job. You could go back to the job you left, but in my case, it weren't a very good one. And I wanted to make a fresh start. So I took a job where they sent most people who couldn't get a job, which was on British Railways. And I was lucky enough to get on their building department. And that gave me a steady job for 11 years with a steady income. And I was able to build my own bungalow. which is this one you're sitting in now. Going back to the Netherlands, I was billeted with a, I shouldn't say Dutch family, because I like to be called Hollanders, but I was billeted with a young couple at a place called Helmut in Holland, and I particularly remember how kind they were to me, sharing their house, but they were very, very short of food. And the young lady, or I should say the young couple at that time, were expecting, or the young lady was expecting a baby. And I shared every scrap of food I could possibly muster with them. And they were so grateful, they wrote to me long while after the war and hoped I was well, because they knew I'd got wounded, and wishing me recovery and future happiness and that sort of thing. And they were a very nice couple, but I never kept up the correspondence, unfortunately.
Was the baby born when you were still there?
The baby? Not while I was billeted with them, no. The lady, I suppose, which she would have about another 2 or 3 months before the actual birth. But I knew they were terrifically short of food. They never asked for any food, but that's quite obvious that they needed it.
What did the husband do for a living?
He was an architect, actually. And I remember his wife, he said to me one day, all Germans are not bad. And his wife said, oh, you mustn't say things like that to an Englishman. And I said, no, it's quite all right. I don't think all Germans are bad. And we got on very well. I used to take him out to our British cinema over there for the evening. And play cards with them after tea, and generally mix in with them. But I couldn't help them very much, apart from what little I could give them of what food I had over. That's about it.